It's been a really long time since we were all doing a podcast together. We did, Ashley and I did one last fall, I think.
Three times.
It took us three times to record it because of technical difficulties. And that was more about, like, it's kind of like a season 5, season 6, season 7 postmortem. It was really interesting. So if you haven't listened to that, check it out. And then Gail and I did the finale podcast. So I think the last time we all recorded together was for the season 7 episode 11 episode. And it's now taken them 12 years to film season
pretty much
8. Which I refuse to believe existed until about 24 hours ago. And yeah, we're just going to talk about sort of what are our, I guess, thoughts about the trailer, thoughts about season 8 overall, what we're expecting and how we're feeling about this show finally ending. Because I was thinking about it a few days ago and I was like, wow, I've been watching the show for like a quarter of my life. And that is just... like,
oh my god,
too much. But why don't we just sort of recap, like, kind of how we're feeling about the final season, not related to the footage and the trailer, but more like what's your headspace related to the final season?
Well, I didn't want to watch it at all, and I was planning to not watch season 8, at least that's what I said, but I think everyone knew I was full of shit. But I'm really excited about it now.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like, I needed the hiatus for sure, because I feel like these seasons, especially the last few, have just gotten so emotional, like, within it, that it's just draining. Like, the highs and the lows are just, the peaks and valleys are just very steep. And so after the season 7 finale, I'm glad that, in hindsight, it's taken so long, because I am fully ready for the new season, like, emotionally. Like, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for spy stuff. I loved season 4 so much, and I feel like this season could be that type of season again. So I'm stoked. I'm ready. Let's do it.
I definitely needed a hiatus. I agree that the last several seasons have been so, like, I don't know. I just felt like not only really emotional, but the outside factors of what it takes to be a fan of the show and interact with other fans of the show is, like, really a lot. So I'm definitely I'm ready for it to end. It's not so much that I want it to end, although I do, but it's not like I don't know. I'm just like, I'm ready for it to be finished. I'm glad that they decided to have this season be the last one. I never thought that the show would go on for 8 seasons. So it feels like the time for it to conclude. I've been very confused about the way that they've gone about promoting the final season and why it's taken them so long to complete it. I definitely didn't think it would take them 2 years, you know, from the time that season 7 premiered to the time that season 8 is premiering. And that's been confusing to me. And it's also been confusing about the, like, lack of acknowledgement of why that's strange. But overall, yeah, I'm excited for it to start, but almost because I'm, like, excited for it to finish. It's like the closer that the premiere day gets, like, the closer that the end of it gets. And I'm sure I'll be, like, a mess when it's over. But I also feel like I'm just, like, ready to sort of have it be finished and have everyone in the show move on to other things and be able to move on to other things myself.
And maybe be able to smile in whatever other roles they choose to take. Do you remember how relieved you were when we saw A Kid Like Jake?
Would be great.
When Sarah and I went to see A Kid Like Jake, watching Claire smile was just otherworldly.
It was truly like, I didn't know that her face did that. even though that's not like a happy movie. It's not like a comedy or anything, but it's still just like such a different role. And I'm definitely excited to see what other roles she takes on. I'm also excited to see like what other stuff the people behind the scenes end up doing, like the writers and the directors and everyone. But I'm also like, I'm eager to see how they wrap up the story. Because one thing that sort of struck me about watching the trailer, which I think is a very good trailer, but you know, like in other shows, like for example, Breaking Bad or something like that, when you would watch like the final season trailer, it would really like be emphasized that it's like the final season, like the culmination of everything. And this didn't feel like that, not in a bad way, but I just thought it was interesting because they're sort of doing like another reboot thing a little bit, like they're telling more of a separate story. So I wonder how they're going to both do that, but also balance the needs for a final season to feel like a real conclusion to, you know, an 8-year long story.
I kind of felt like just watching the trailer, I think there's a subtlety to it because the callbacks and the parallels in just that very short trailer or like teaser mm-hmm. for me were so prevalent. I mean, not only is the color palette, you know, the traditional homeland, the bluesy, you know, colors, but I just felt like in that trailer alone, I felt like there was callbacks to virtually every major storyline season kind of peppered throughout. And I loved how they used the red, white, and blue of the American flag weaved into those images. And like, even when you see at one point, it looks like a brick road and it's blood red. And I just thought mm-hmm. that was so striking. So I do think they're going to build up to that. Obviously, this is like kind of their big push, you know, try to get subscribers in place before that February launch. But, you know, I wanted to say real quick, talking back about like what the actors move on to real quick is what I noticed in recent pictures of Claire Danes is how great she looks. I mean, like super great. And I just wonder if like saying goodbye to Carrie has maybe taken a little bit of an emotional weight off her shoulders because she looks lighter and like effervescent. So it'll be interesting to see what she does next.
Do you think that maybe not playing Carrie Matheson is like...
I agree with you. Like she looks... There's no possible way that sort of wrapping up the story of Carrie hasn't, like, lifted something off of her. Even if it is just sort of the pressure and the weight of having to, like, lead a TV series for... I mean, she's actually been doing this now for, like, close to 10 years. If you think about the pilot of the show was filmed in early 2011, which means that she got the script for it, let's say... 3 to 4 months before that. Like, it's literally been almost 10 years of her life. And that's, like, that's so crazy to imagine. So...
Especially when you consider, like, it's a character like Carrie Matheson.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not like she was playing, like, you know, some sitcom character or whatever. Like, the stuff that she had to go through was just, like, unfathomable. Even though it's not real... I think you can tell that it does take a toll on her because of the type of actor that she is. For the people who maybe haven't seen the trailer or haven't watched it like 20 times like I have, maybe we should like quickly recap. Also, perhaps remind people of what happened at the end of season 7, because it definitely seems like they're carrying over some plot lines from season 7, which I have mixed feelings about. So at the end of season 7, what did happen? So Carrie goes to Moscow, with Saul and,
the Blue Hand Group. Don't forget about the Blue Hand Group.
So they go to Moscow to get Simone. And remember, Simone was Yevgeny's girlfriend, who was also like a French Russian asset who had helped frame David Wellington, and this was all in an attempt to like bring down President Keen. I'm like recapping this live in my head because it was a little bit complicated, but they go to Moscow to get her because they want to bring her back to the US so that she can explain to the American people that this was all sort of a Russian plant operation. In the process of getting Simone back to the US, Carrie ends up sort of sacrificing herself, I guess. And she ends up in a Russian prison where, after a little bit of trickery, she learns that she will no longer be getting her bipolar medication. Simone comes back to the US. She testifies before Congress and explains everything that happened, basically exonerating President Keen, whom everyone thought was responsible for that, like, general's death when he died in the prison. And then President Keen ends up resigning because she realizes that even though she's been exonerated, half the country still fucking hates her guts. And so she'd just rather resign than kind of put the country through more turmoil, because I guess she was that polarizing of a figure. Carrie stays in the Russian prison for 7 months, and she is finally at the very end of the episode, the last scene. There's a prisoner exchange solved there. They're at, like, the Russian border. They exchange a few prisoners for Carrie. She looks terrible, and that's an understatement. She looks like how you would expect someone who relies on medication to be sane would look after 7 months of not having that medication. She can't even recognize Saul's face. She doesn't speak. She kind of looks like a feral animal. Anyway, so that's the cheery note that season 7 ends on. Very emotional. And then the show was like, peace, we're out of here for 2 years. Season 8 was filmed, the bulk of it was filmed in Morocco to stand in for Afghanistan. And then they filmed a little bit, I guess the last 6 weeks or so in Los Angeles, which is interesting. So it took them like 10 to 11 months to film the whole thing, which is almost twice as long as it usually takes them to film a season of 12 episodes. But from the trailer, looks like Carrie is rehabilitating somewhere. To me, my like guess is that maybe they've had her like retrained at the CIA farm or something like that.
Oh, I think that's being very generous. To me, it looked like some sort of like mental facility, even, or like type of prison.
I would agree.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not what I thought at all. I thought that they sent her back to like somewhere where she would be like just retrained.
No, that's what the running on the rehabbed. Basketball court was meant to convey. Like, she can't go out running. She's running back and forth, but she's
trapped. Yeah, she's like a caged animal, for sure. Yes.
No, this is definitely not what I thought was going on.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sarah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think Saul's words were actually, because in the trailer, at one point you hear the voiceover of Saul saying, like, I believe you, but no one else will. And I think that has actually been the entire premise of their relationship, I think, even harkening back to season one.
Sure.
And then that's been woven throughout and used, weaponized against someone like Javadi in season 3. So I think that, you know, coming back from Russia, I think very much there's going to be an aura of suspicion around her because of her maybe public image within the CIA and her past track record, and then having, having these gaps in memory is going to be suspect to them. And then, for Saul to want to pull her out and put her back in. And then in the trailer, you see Yevgeny and what's clearly not just, you could tell when like she's having a memory, the footage changes, and when it's clear and there's an image of Yevgeny, that's very clear of them having kind of what seems to be an intimate moment. So clearly he's there in real life in that moment. So their relationship seems to have evolved, you know, over that 7 months into I'm not sure what. But you hear Carrie's voiceover calling him a Russian handler. So,
well, okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. So, Carrie was in a Russian prison for 7 months. She returns at the very end of season 7 in a very, very, very bad state. She is returned to the U.S. to be rehabbed in some sort of way. Whether or not that's in a facility where she's like barred from leaving is unclear. But the trailer depicts her in this place, not in a very good way, but also eager to get back in the game. Saul is, I don't know what his like official role is, but at the end of season 7, Beau Bridges, I don't remember what his name is on the show, but I'm just going to call him Beau Bridges from now to forever. Beau Bridges becomes president because Keane resigns, and the sort of log line that they've publicized for the final season is that he wants to end the war in Afghanistan, and he tasks Saul with that job. And so Saul goes to wherever Carrie is to get her back to Kabul.
It was very, like, I think it's more along the lines of season 2 where Carrie's out of it. They didn't bring her back to get rehab so she could go back to work. They brought her back because Saul wanted her back. And I
agree with that.
I think that we also, there have been theories that Keane's resignation was related to that. That was part of the deal. Because, yes, Elizabeth Keane owes Carrie a whole fuck of a lot.
I don't agree with that part. I don't think
I think it's an interesting theory. But she...
That is an interesting theory that I've never thought about. I guess my thoughts were that Carrie returned back to the U.S. and was, like, rehabbed with the end goal of, like, not her returning to the field, but maybe doing some sort of, like, CIA desk work as an analyst.
Oh, God, no. No,
no
way.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's what it's going to be.
I think that's why she's so surprised.
So Saul has been tasked with concluding the war in Afghanistan, which has now been going on for almost 20 years, and it seems like there's no end in sight. And he asks that Carrie come with him because apparently Carrie's the one person who can help him do this, even though she was only the station chief in Afghanistan for like 3 months. But anyway, she is very excited to go back. And then what we sort of see is there is some familiar faces from season 4 will be returning, specifically Haqqani, who was like the leader of the Taliban that you remember Saul and Dar Adal made a deal with at the end of season 4 that they would sort of leave him alone in exchange for him not releasing footage of Saul being captured and held for ransom, and releasing that to the public, which obviously would have been very damaging for Saul's career. So that in some ways allowed him to continue operating in the region. So we see him a little bit. It looks like he and Saul make a deal of some kind, another deal of some kind. We also know that, oh my God, what's her name?
Tasneem.
Tasneem, thank you. Mm-hmm. She's also returning, though. I don't think that she was in the trailer.
Yes, she was. Wasn't she the one asking them to leave her country alone?
No, that was a different actor.
Oh, I thought that was Tasneem. Okay.
Anyway, so she'll be returning as well.
And hopefully getting hers, right? We all want justice for Farah. Like, I want to see Tasneem, like, die, like, a very painful death.
But I'm excited for, like, the Carrie Tasneem sparring because I feel like they're very well matched. But the sort of bulk and the sort of theme of the trailer is that there's a lot of doubt cast on Carrie because she can't remember what happened in the Russian prison. She has no memory. And so people are suspicious and they think that she might have been turned into a Russian agent. And that's where Yevgeny comes back into play. And Carrie obviously resents that suspicion. But it also seems like Saul is trying to get her to use it to their advantage and make her interact with this man who did God knows what to her in this prison for 7 months. So there's basically, once again, we're with this sort of theme that no one believes Carrie. But what I was thinking about is that it's sort of different, the doubts that we have, than in past seasons, where I felt like the doubts were mostly related to her bipolar disorder. And I think it's clever that they found a way to sort of repeat some of those themes, which are very fruitful, I think, from a storytelling perspective, but in a different way.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Because like they always do a different take on her mental illness. You know, every season we kind of see it woven into the storyline in some capacity. But to-
yeah, like I'm done seeing Carrie just like being manic. Like there's no more ground to cover in that realm for me.
And it's interesting too, because the whole, you know, the show started with Brody returning as a prisoner of war and the doubt cast over him. And it seems very fitting that, you know, the end season kind of cast Carrie in that same light. But what's, I agree with you. I just think it was extremely clever to roll in her illness as you know, like with those memory gaps. And clearly, even in the trailer, you see like she's having bursts of memory and you could see it, how it's like they changed the filter for it. So you can recognize that it's a memory and not like a current event. So that's going to be fruitful too throughout the season, because who knows what she's going to remember and when, right? And so she's probably trying to catch up with the memories as life is unfolding. And it'll probably come to a very, you know, big head at some point. In this season, no doubt.
Yeah, like the other thing that is interesting, I mean, Carrie has always been in some ways an unreliable narrator, but this sort of pushes that to the maximum.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. It's very much like season one Brody, where we didn't know whether or not he was a good guy or a bad guy. And as we saw more of his memories, we sort of saw that journey unfold. I think an interesting difference, though, is that it's almost like Carrie doesn't know what she remembers. So, like, I was just thinking, like, even if she was turned, would she even know it? Anyways, I think it'll be interesting.
She might not remember if she was turned, right? Truthfully, right?
I think that the parallels with Brody are 100% intentional. I'm interested to see, you know, how it plays out. The trailer definitely got me excited for the season in the ways that like the first teaser did not. it looks like it's going to be good, and you know, despite the fact that it's taken them so long to film and produce the season, it does seem like the overseas location and things like that, like it does seem like that was worth it, because it looks like pretty visually stunning to me.
It looks amazing.
I loved the post that you had on Hell Yeah Homeland, Sarah, where you did parallels and where you took like GIFs of the trailer and you put them side by side with other shots throughout the season. And I find it fascinating that, I mean, the Carrie looking out the window, and you can almost imagine that jazz music being played, like as she's in a car, and then just even with her wearing like the headscarf and like looking over her shoulder. And I find it so fascinating how much they were able to put into that trailer. And honestly, there's like a nostalgia for me in that, because like the elements they brought in that trailer were some of my favorite things about Homeland throughout. Like that, you know, the Carrie, like figuring things out and being on the run and being engaged and active, and just that, I loved it so much. I don't know. I felt like it really worked I think it really worked to tease the episode, especially for longtime fans like us who watch it very closely. It almost felt like it was full of Easter eggs for people like us who would go frame by frame. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I agree. It definitely does seem like they were Easter eggs. Although the post that you're talking about where I specifically sort of put side by side some specific points in the trailer, specifically against season 4, which I think is potentially the parallels that they're going for. Those were like extremely overt too. Like, yes. We're kind of just hitting the same beats over and over again, right? But I mean, that doesn't, not in a way, I guess, that feels like a retread, which I think is always something. I think the show is good about not making the sort of continuous reboots, for lack of a better word. They're good at not making those feel sort of like retreads, or like, for the most part, you know, it doesn't always feel like, oh, like I've just seen this before. It's nothing new.
Well, they even make though it feel
there
fresh.
Are going to be some of the same characters. Yeah, like, it does feel fresh. Maybe that should be because the show's been off the air for so long that I'm just kind of, I guess, ready for it to start again. It did take like a year and a half for me to get to that place, though.
I have to say, like, you were cracking me up, and it was just so on brand that you're like, this is all fake. This isn't happening. And all of us, like, on our chats are like, it's absolutely happening. Like, here's footage. Here's what we see being filmed. You know, here's this. And you're like, no, it's fake. That's been great, I have to say. It's been highly entertaining.
I mean, for me, after season 6 and season 7, season 6 was what it was. Season 7 was wonderful, but I can't rewatch it. It took such an emotional toll on me. So to finally be excited about a season of Homeland, I haven't been excited since season 5.
Which was like 4 to 5 years ago now. Yeah, that was like a long time ago.
Right. So I thought that the parallels between season 4 and season 8, as we've seen them so far. But as I've said before, I think that the show split in season, after season 4. In season 4, after season 4, like, it became, for the first 3 seasons, it was the Carrie Brody story and the story about how he got turned. And I thought it was really interesting how we're going from that point right back to season 1. So the way the trailer was cut in half, we have all of the Afghanistan stuff, and then all of a sudden we cut to Yevgeny and Carrie, and we can't trust her. And I thought that was really interesting, just the way they started and went back to the beginning.
Oh, yeah. It seemed very intentional. And I think, too, like, you know, you don't see some of the people, you know, that we know are going to be in this season. They didn't necessarily show everyone. Like, we didn't see Tasneem, but we know she'll be back.
Where was Hugh Dancy?
We didn't see him, trailer. Right? We didn't see Bo Bridges or his staff. But you know who we saw was our boy, Maury Sterling, who plays Max, who's, you know, been with Carrie from season 1. I love Maury Sterling, and I love the character of Max, so I'm thrilled that he's back. And I think with all these callbacks that we were just talking about with season 4, I think it's important that he's back because of it being Haqqani and Tasneem and what happened to Farah. That he's back involved. So his stakes are going to be higher, right? Because he's not probably just there for Carrie. He's probably got his own agenda, which I would love to see.
That's a Max really good point.
Max have more to do, right? And also, you know, the loss of Quinn and how that affected him. So I think Maury will have his own, you know, work cut out for him with the character of Max this year that might stand a little bit bigger and brighter because of the story they're telling. So I'm excited for that too.
That's a really good point about Max having more stakes in what they're doing, because Haqqani, like, murdered Farah right in front of his eyes. I actually don't think that Quinn will factor into it at all.
You never do.
Maybe that's just me feeling like he's just not going to. I'm sorry. I don't think Quinn will factor into
the decision. I'm not necessarily talking about Quinn, the character. I'm talking about what it was for Max. You know, I just think Max is coming into this season having lost Farrah, having lost Quinn, having thought he lost Carrie, I'm sure, having watched Carrie come back, a true disaster. So I think it's, I think for him, you know, in his character's trajectory from season one to now, I think it's been a difficult road for him these last few seasons, even though he's, you know, an ensemble part of the cast. I think he's had significant story within it. And I'm excited that he was in the trailer. I'm a little nervous for the shot of him in the trailer with his hands up looking to be caught. But I'm excited for what he's going to bring with the stakes and with his, you know, what Max has been through, you know, the last few seasons.
I'm and just where's glad
Virgil? Is Virgil
once...
coming back?
Oh, that should definitely come out. What I'm pleased about is that for once it will make sense that Max is there. Because why was he in New York in season 6? And why was he in DC in season 7? Is he just following Carrie around?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. She keeps him employed and he looks out for her. Absolutely.
Oh my God.
It's a television show, Ashley. He's just there because he is.
I can't fathom why he came to New York.
I do think that Carrie... I don't know. That's a good point. Why was he in New York? Whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, season 6 made no sense. So I don't even think about it anymore. One thing that I wanted to say, which is kind of more about the overall theme of, like, we don't know whether or not Carrie's been turned. We can't trust her, blah, blah, blah. Like, I have a little bit of a problem with that as a driver from an audience perspective. Like, as a member of the audience, I have no doubt in my mind that Carrie wasn't turned. Like, I know that that's just not something that would be possible. Like, we know that she's extremely loyal to her country to a fault, right? Like, she's too loyal. So I guess for me, they're like, if they're intending for that to be some sort of like suspenseful thing where we're not sure whether or not she was turned, to me, there's no suspense in that because I know that ultimately she wouldn't be. And if they do make it into a suspenseful thing and they reveal that she was, for me, it like ruins the whole show. So I kind of have problems with that, like, overall. So I more think that it's going to be a driver because it's, once again, going to be, like, Carrie and Saul against the world, right? Like, he's the only one who believes her as well as the audience, too. Like, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that she could ever be turned. And so it's a little bit different from Brody in the respect that as a member of the audience in season 1, we truly had no idea where his allegiances were. Because we didn't really know him.
Let me jump in on that real quick because I agree. I too kind of share that same sentiment about Carrie just because I feel like we know who she is by now. But also, like, I think if you look at Brody's character and things he said early on is like, well, number one, when he came back as a prisoner of war, they all thought Carrie was crazy. She was the only one who thought maybe he had been turned. The people who knew him best, there was no way that could have happened to him. And, you know, in Brody's story arc, there's times where he talks about being captured. And at one point when he's with that guy that gets captured that brought him over the line in episode 3 or that got caught with him over the line, he's like, you know, what should I expect, basically? And Brody's like, well, expect a break because you will. And it will happen. And so, you know, I think, you know, knowing that Brody has kind of said things like that, and I don't think it would be without the realm of possibility that at some point Carrie broke and gave up information. I don't necessarily think that means she's been turned, but I think what Carrie's character has always been is she does have a moral compass and an honor to her country, and where she disagrees with the country and how they go about things. She has then gone out on her own to course correct, right? With, you know, we saw that in season 5, her working for Otto, or season 6, working with, you know, with that lawyer to get people freed, you know, that were imprisoned, you know, wrongly, things of that nature. So I do think that there could be a scenario where maybe she hasn't flipped or become a double agent, but maybe there's a piece of that where it's in the best interest of the country for her to do what she needs to do, where it might look like she's flipped, but she hasn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There is no like plane of reality, taking into account that this is a fictional TV show, but there's like no scenario that I can envision that would seem at all plausible at all where Carrie flips and becomes a double agent. The thing about giving up information seems more likely, but we also have like her mental state like did not seem fit at all to be able to do that. Like the fact that she completely lost her mind, had clearly like not been well taken care of in 7 months, to me shows that they just left her there. She wasn't cooperating with them at all. She was off her meds. She like literally went crazy. She lost her mind multiple times over. I just can't understand how she would even be in a position to give up that information. Not to mention the fact at the end of season 7 too, like Carrie hadn't been in the CIA in like 3 years.
Years. But I do think it's interesting that after being captured, all of a sudden now they're back in Kabul where she was station chief, even if it was for a hot minute. It clearly there's Russian interest there coming into the season. And I think that's going to be tied together, you know, because even in the teaser that you denied before being real, there was a line in that one where she's being like accused of like, or someone has died close to her that was an asset and people are upset about that. And it's like, did she give that information to the Russians or to someone? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Clearly someone was killed. And so I do think that, even though that wasn't in this most recent trailer, that seems to be a tie-in to that Russian, you know, Middle Eastern kind of tie-in of interest there. And that's extremely, you know, linked to current events and kind of what's going on in the world, which Homeland seems to do, you know, very well, is, you know, tread that prescient, you know, political climate trail very, very well. And so I think that's a really unique tie-in that because of season 4 and what's going on, that's going to be interesting too to see how that plays out. And we know just from Costa's Ronan, who plays Yevgeny, his Twitter, like he was still shooting when they were, you know, filming in California. So he shot this entire year. So this will be very interesting to see his role throughout.
Yeah, that brings me to my next question, which is the, and this is not something that I had super thought about, but you're right. He was filming the show basically the entire time, so his role must be in a good portion of the season, if not the entire season. And it's not something that I, like, really thought about a lot of, like, huh, season 7 concludes, and it is a little bit like the story with Russia has concluded, but they've extended it into season 8. But I was really surprised at the moments in the trailer between the two of them. And you mentioned this at the very beginning, how Carrie and Yevgeny do seem to share some sort of a moment. I don't, like, it's impossible to tell because it's only 3 seconds long and it's completely taken out of context, but like, how sincere is it? Like, what's going on? Is Carrie playing him? He doesn't seem like he's someone who could be played by her. So like, what's going on? And I'm just like, what do you guys think is going to happen between the two of them? What story do you think is going to play out there?
Oh God, there's going to be sex for sure, which is just blah. But although he's a very attractive man, so maybe it won't be as gross. But
you really think that they're going to have sex?
Yeah, it's Showtime and it's Carrie. Yes, there's going to be sex. Prepare for it.
People are going to lose their minds when that happens.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, for sure. So you're hearing it from me. Prepare now. You have some time. That'll be fine. You got to take it for what it is.
Yeah, I think the fandom is already fucked up, and I think it's just going to make it worse. But who cares?
What do you think is going to happen between the two of them? Do you think that they're, like, going to have sex?
Yes. Do you not?
I am not convinced that that's going to happen. No, I'm not convinced that that's going to happen. I don't know. I just, like, are they going to try to frame him as, like, a sympathetic character?
No, I think it's interesting that you think that Carrie was just sort of left alone in a cell to just rot. I don't think her mental state would have deteriorated that much just from being off her meds. That's not how bipolar works.
How do you think that she got to the state that she's in when we see her in the prisoner exchange in the final season? In the final scene, then?
I think that she was tortured. I think that she was put through a lot of terrible things. I think that she may have given up information. She may not have. But I don't think that she was just silent the whole time.
Interesting. I guess we'll find out. I'm thinking back. So after season 7 concluded, Claire Danes did like 80 podcast interviews. Here's a plug. Please come on our pod, Claire. But she did a lot of interviews, and she talked in one about how they actually did film some like scenes of Carrie in the prison that were meant to be sort of the in-between point between like the previous or like the last time we see Carrie before the final scene of season 7 is like when she's in the cell and Yevgeny has just said like it was a sugar pill, you're about to go through it and you know everything, and she tells him to go to hell and then he leaves and she just sort of like cries alone because she knows what's about to happen. And then the next time we see her, it's 7 months later, and Claire talked about how they filmed some scenes that were supposed to be in the sort of middle of the of that period, and the way that she talked about them was very interesting, because she talked about some of the backstory that went into how she prepared for those scenes, which is that without her meds, Carrie would have what she called rapid cycled, which means she goes through mania and depression very quickly and like one after the other without her meds. So I guess I just took that and assumed, all right, that meant that she was basically like out of commission, like not useful to them. It's hard for me, I guess, because she was so staunch in her sort of conviction that she wasn't going to do what the Russians told them to do. I guess I just assumed that that was kind of how the rest of it went, and they were like, all right, see ya. Maybe that's naive of me.
I think it's really interesting that with all of this, you find Carrie doesn't have, she has a lot of conviction, but it's not like her mind is strong. She has a mental illness. And I mean, the fact that she's missing 7 months, she doesn't even, like, that's the point. She doesn't even know what she might have given up or what she might have said, what she might have done. When she was in the midst of going crazy, who friggin' knows? I remember when 24 was on. Season 5, Jack gets imprisoned by the Chinese and they get him back as part of an exchange. And they say that Jack went through a ton of shit, and throughout the entire year that they had him, he never said a word. That's not Carrie. Same writers, but that's not Carrie.
And you got to wonder, too, like, well, the Russians and Yevgeny, too, he's so smart and cunning. He's going to know that there's going to be suspicion surrounding her going back, and she's not going to know what she did. So he might be playing on that, too, making her think she said things that maybe she didn't.
That's a good point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh. I think, oh, my God. I I don't know what's going to happen between the two of them. It would be extreme. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a sexual relationship. But the difference between, you know, Yevgeny and the other men that Carrie has sexually manipulated in the past is that he's a lot smarter and they're much more evenly matched. Which is one of the reasons why I think he's such a good villain, is because previous villains haven't really been Carrie's adversary. They've more been maybe adversaries to Saul or to Brody or something like that. I felt like he was one of the first ones that was kind of her counterpart in a way. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, because it would be like such a homeland thing for them to do, for her to have sex with him. But at the same time, like, I don't know. What a mess. I wasn't prepared for that.
I mean, whether or not, like, however Carrie does or does not view sexual relations, like, clearly she doesn't take sex very seriously. It's still very intimate. There's still, like, you still can forge a connection. I think it would be very strange if Yevgeny hadn't used that to his advantage. Carrie would have used it to her advantage. She did with Ion.
I definitely got the feeling, yeah. To go back to the podcast that I was referencing before, this was now from like summer 2018. I definitely got the feeling that like there was some, like, it seemed like Claire, when she was talking about the discussion of like what went on in the prison in those 7 months, that there were like, it seemed like she was leaving things unsaid that were of a sensitive nature. Like, I remember listening to it and I like really expect her to be like, yeah. And then Carrie was like assaulted in some way. So I'm just, I mean, it's strange. Like, I hear myself talking and I'm like, so I'm definitely preparing for the worst in that regard, in terms of whatever flashbacks or whatever. Like, it's going to be terrible. But the, like, on the other hand, I'm like, oh no, she didn't give it. Like, she's fine. She didn't give up any information. You know, she's not going to be manipulated or, I don't know. I guess I'm living in like two different worlds and I'm like having a hard time.
I think, you know, it's also
letting them overlap.
Not super, I don't want to say not super smart, but I think that it's the things that they may have said in the aftermath of season 7. I don't know how much faith we can put in them because of how very much time they took for season 8. We don't know what was rewritten, what they changed, what, we don't know what happened in the prison. Whatever they told Claire happened in the prison, whatever they decided at the end of season 7, that's not necessarily what happened, because of all of the time they had to make changes.
I mean, these are all very good points, and I agree with you. I think I'm just like, this is sort of, I think, like, it's kind of where my head's been for the last year and a half, is like in this space. And I think that seeing footage of the season, I'm just like, oh, so like this is what they're doing. And it's just, I guess I'm having a hard time reconciling it with what I thought were the implications of specific things in season 7 and what I thought would, you know, transpire in season 8. So I guess I'm just having some difficulty, but that's always difficult.
I mean, it is a point that solitary confinement is considered cruel and unusual punishment, especially in the long term, because it does do things to you. So I don't think it's strange to jump to the conclusion that she was left alone without her meds and that's what happened. But I don't think that's all that happened.
You're probably right.
I think there's a lot of truth in that. Yeah, I agree.
What do we think about, like, I think the other sort of theme of the trailer, I guess, or like another thing to touch on, and perhaps a good thing to close with, is the Saul and Carrie relationship. Just what the heck is happening there. I have such like mixed emotions about this codependent, toxic relationship between the two of them. And I am like, I don't really know. Like, I am so resentful of this relationship on Carrie's behalf. It's like, but at the same time, I don't know. I just, seeing some of the footage and her and him like luring her back with this sort of like, oh, you're the person that I need. You're the only one who can do this, when that doesn't like make a ton of sense. Not to mention the fact that like he is part of the reason that this war in Afghanistan has like lasted as long as he did. If they, like if Quinn, for example, had been able to take out Akani at the end of season 4, as was his plan, like none of this would really like be happening.
Well, that wasn't Saul's fault.
Saul's deal. Well, it was Dar Dahl's fault, because he knew that Akani had the tape, and that's why.
No, it was Carrie's fault, because she wouldn't. Quinn didn't pull the trigger because Carrie ran in.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It had nothing to do with Saul. She found out that Dara Dahl was in the car, like, a couple minutes later. So.
Okay, you're right. That's true.
But none of this would have happened if Quinn had just let Carrie drop the fucking drone on Saul.
Oh, good point. So this is all Quinn's fault.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, it is all Quinn's fault.
Okay, I'm glad we agree on that. Okay.
You guys. But getting back to the Saul thing, and I know I've talked about this before, and I'm probably beating a dead horse, but Saul's speech with Yvonne in the end of our episode, 12, the finale of season 5, where they are having this conversation, and it is Yvonne talking about Allison and Saul talking kind of in code about Carrie, because you can tell as he's relating to Yvonne as like Allison being like his greatest like asset, his greatest, muse, that, she, as like he was managing her and handling her, and, she was able to do this, and it was almost a masterpiece. And just the reverence in which Saul spoke about that, I felt like was such a clue to how maybe his relationship with Carrie is. And a lot of Saul's achievements, as we've seen over the last 10 years and 7 seasons, has been with Carrie. And even in that season 1, episode 1, there's so much context given to the history prior to that episode, right? Of their ability to work together, and they have this deep relationship. So clearly they've had a lot of success prior to that, which is why he's betting on her and trusting her and, giving her some leeway. So I think that, I think that Saul goes back to her because that is his muse. I think he has always been her handler, and she has been his asset all along.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. He certainly treats her like an asset, and like he's her handler. It's just like really messed up if you think about like the sort of, to me, it almost seems like fake caring. Like, I do think that he cares about her, but like the last time that they hatched some plan to do some crazy thing, she ended up in a Russian prison for 7 months. And the fact that he comes back to her and is like, let's go to a war zone, you're the only person who can help me, and she says yes because she wants so badly to please him. It's just this really toxic, codependent relationship, and I'm eager to see it conclude in a way that is like a permanent separation of the two of them, because I don't know, like there it's so messed up. This relationship between them is so messed up, and I think that the evolution of that relationship from season 1, when it was like mentor, mentee, and father daughter, to this now, it's like so fucked up. I guess in ways that like family can really only be, but it's like so messed up. I'm just like ready for that part to be over and for her to be free of him, because he is not good for her.
Well, at all. To me, it doesn't feel like it's fake caring. I think that, as with all things with Carrie and with Saul, it is work over everything else. And their work is very, very, very important. And, I mean, Saul has always demonstrated his love for Carrie. I think you can see it, the speech at the end of The Choice, when he thinks that she's dead. Mm-hmm. When he, in the scene in the trailer where he asks her to go back to Kabul and she says, hell yes, and his face just twitches into like half of a smile, and he's like, he seems regretful about asking it, but he knows that she's the same way. She wants the same things. And she would put her country and her country's safety first over him as well. We know that. So I don't necessarily think it's, I definitely don't think it's a healthy relationship, and I don't think it's fake caring at all. I think he loves her more than he's ever loved anybody. But not as much.
I think he cares about her, but I think that sometimes he feigns this type of, like, deeper caring for her well-being. Like, if he really cared about her well-being as a person and not as some tool that he can use to, you know, either advance his career or have some, like, crazy idea about international peace or whatever come to light, like, it, I don't know. Well, it seems like he would, I guess I think that he cares about her. I think that he loves her, but almost like just when it suits him and just when he needs to show that to get her to do whatever he wants her to do, which is like increasingly dangerous things, that it's not like he's forcing her into it, but they have such a manipulative relationship where he like withholds his love from her, which makes her like want to do these increasingly dangerous things to please him and to make him proud of her. It's just like really messed up. It's so toxic. There's no other word that I can think of to describe it.
Oh, it's toxic and awful. But I think, again, the point is that no matter how much Saul loves anybody, no matter how much Carrie loves anybody, the work is going to come first.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is just interesting because it was almost like in the beginning or at specific points, I think that the show kind of made this point that like Saul was the moral compass of the show, or he was Carrie's moral compass, or, you know, whatever. And they've kind of dismantled that idea as the seasons have gone on. They're just at like, they're wired in the same way, and they're wired in the same way because Saul brought Carrie up basically in his image.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's truth to that, and I think when they put the nail in that, when they dismantled Saul's image, was when he had Allison killed in season 5, which
no, I think, you know, it was Yvonne at the end of season 4. I think it was at the end of season 4 when Carrie really understood like what he would do.
Oh, I agree, yeah. But I think for Saul, the last piece to fall for him, where he shed maybe that idealistic view of at least himself,
okay,
came when he killed Allison, which, funny enough, she was working for the Russians. So actually, this Russian piece has been there at least since season 5. So, you know, for half of the seasons, there's been this Russian interference in all of these storylines in 5 and 6, because we come to find out like they were behind, you know, all of that propaganda in season 6, which leads then into what happens in 7 with Yevgeny, which now is coming to a head in season 8. So it's a fascinating tie-in, you know, with all the individual characters and their storylines.
Yeah. It will be interesting to watch for sure. That kind of leads me to my last sort of topic, which was like, it's a loaded question, but sort of like, what do you think is going to happen at the end? Specifically, who lives, who dies,
who tells your story?
You know, ends up, yeah, who lives, who dies, who tells your story. What do you guys think about that?
Carrie needs to die.
What are your predictions?
I think Carrie will die. I think that she needs to die. There's never going to be a happy ending for her.
For the longest time, I was totally prepared and convinced that Carrie would die. But now I think that she won't die. I'm not sure that she's going to get a happy ending. I think it's going to be like a Homelandian type of ending where it's really messed up and sad and cynical and bittersweet in some ways. But I'm not sure that she is going to die. I'm like not convinced on that point anymore.
I don't know how her story can end.
I think that they might throw Claire a bone and just like, fine, she can live. I wonder what it would be like to play a character for 10 years, go through all the shit that she went through, and then just like have her die at the end.
It's again the way I feel about 24. 24 is never over as long as Jack Bauer is alive. And I mean, there's already talk of there's already conspiracies for people who think that 24 is coming back now that Designated Survivor is canceled. So I guess,
and Homeland's over, so like all of the same people, like, they're free
again. Well, right, they're free again. But I think that with a character like Carrie Matheson, I don't know how you can end her story without thinking that she'll get pulled right back in. I don't know if there's a way to end the story of Carrie Matheson that actually ends it that isn't with her death.
That's a really good point. That's like a very good point. Like if we just saw her sort of driving off into the distance at the very end, we'd be like, all right, but in 3 months, something's going to happen and she's going to be pulled right back in. Like the only way that her story could have a conclusion is if her life is over, right? That's interesting. Unless the thing that they're going for is just like, this is who she is. She's always going to be pulled back in. And like, that's just how it is.
But what if the person pulling her back in is dead? So what if it's Saul that, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if everyone around her dies, right?
Oh, I would rejoice. Like if Saul dies. Carrie lives, I would rejoice, right?
But that would be the reason. I mean, like, I think truthfully, if she is to live, the only way she could live without the threat of being pulled back in, truthfully, is if Saul dies. Because I do think for her, even though this is who she is, I think if you look back, like there really isn't anyone else going back in and pulling her into this outside of him. It's not like she's got a, you know, the CIA knocking down her door for help. If anything, she's shunned and he's her lifeline. So he's her credibility. So without him, you know, I don't know, but I kind of am. I'm in a camp where I think she probably does die. Because I agree with everything you guys have said. I think that gives it a finality. She's already kind of intimated to Maggie last year that if something happens to her, you know, if she gets put in a padded cell, to let Franny think she's dead. So I do think there's going to be, I think they've kind of foreshadowed, you know, her maybe not making it out of this one. So
maybe my prediction from like 6 years ago about the series concluding with Carrie in a mental hospital will come true.
That would kill me.
I could see that too.
Upsetting for me. Carrie's death would not bother me as much. Although I do need to point out that in season 5, it was Quinn who kind of pulled her back in. In season 6, it was Elizabeth Keen. It's not always Saul.
Yeah, you know what? That's true.
I do think as well, the show kind of made a point in season 7 and episode 10 when they're in like the Franny custody battle and Maggie gives that like really heartbreaking testimony that like Saul might be the one who brings her back in, but there's a part of Carrie herself who kind of dies when she's not doing this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so true. But my prediction, like outside of whoever dies or whatever, is that at some point we see her visit Brody's grave. I'm convinced that happens because of that conversation with Javadi where he tells her where he's buried. I just feel like I'm positive that will be in season 8. That's my prediction.
Okay.
I'm positive.
I don't like that.
I'm not into that. I do like it, but only because I like to watch the world burn.
Ashley and I are just pot stirrers.
Like, it's just gotten to the point where the outrage is so much and I don't understand it, that every time there's something that people are getting outraged about or something potential that they could get outraged about, like, I'm like, bring it on.
I mean, so when I was writing down my thoughts last night after watching the trailer, I was like, with regards to Yevgeny and Carrie and the moments in the trailer, that I was like really not expecting them to show that, which almost makes me think that it's a bit of like a red herring, because Showtime trailers are almost always like misleading. But like, I'm kind of into it just because I know that people's heads would explode and it like might be entertaining to watch. Like, I guess that makes me like a jerk and a bad person, but it could be entertaining to watch that unfold. Like, at specific points, you know, through the past seasons, you know, those type of lightning rod moments, like Dante or Ion or, you know, whatever it may be, people just go crazy when Carrie has sex with someone who she shouldn't be having sex with.
Yes. The other lightning rod, that my other prediction, and this is the end of my predictions for today, is I think we're going to see the Brodies. I think we're going to see Dana.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Oh, my God. I hope we see Dana Brody.
Why do you?
Maybe that's how the series will end, with Dana Brody being sworn in as a CIA officer.
And she's, like, the biggest villain in Homeland history, so I think Dana will be back at some point, at least for a cameo.
I love Dana.
No way. That's not going to happen.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, that's my big prediction. We'll
see. That's going to be a space on the bingo card.
Yep, I think it should be.
Dana comes back? I mean, I do love Dana. I do love her. I just think that the way that they concluded her story in season 3 with Brody was so perfect that I just don't want it to happen.
I do. I agree with that too. And she's like the most loathsome character to me. I make that known. Like, I absolutely hated her character. When I rewatch it, I fast forward that shit. But I could totally see them bringing her back for even a hot second. I
love Dana just because she's such a teenager, and Morgan Saylor portrays her so amazingly.
Oh my God.
Morgan Saylor.
So
if
well.
Morgan Saylor doesn't become an Oscar winner, I will be very surprised.
Really good actor. I kind of like too that it almost seemed like she knew that people didn't like her character, and she just like leaned into it even harder, and I like really respect that.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's great and phenomenal. I can't do it.
You
and
guys that's how good think she was. That? Do you guys think that we'll see Franny again?
No,
in some you know, potential sort of like flash forward, maybe.
No,
I think we'll see her again. I don't know if it'll be a flash forward, but I think you'll see her at least one more.
I don't think I don't think that. I definitely don't think we'll see Franny, like, young Franny again.
I think
that they wrapped that story up.
Maybe the series will end with Franny at Carrie's grave.
Oh my God. Maybe too much talk of graves.
End with Franny visiting Brody's grave.
Oh my God. It can't end that way. That would be such a bad ending.
I know. I'm just saying.
I think that the show is going to end in... I think that it's really hard for me to believe that they're going to do something like shocking with the ending. I don't know why I say that, but I think a part of me thinks that the ending is going to be kind of like satisfying. I can't believe I just said that, but I think that they're maybe committed to doing something that like feels okay. Like, if you think about it, like the ending of season 3 was very satisfying because it really was like that kind of was in some respects a series finale of the show that Homeland was for the first three seasons, and the way that they concluded that story was like they wrapped up a lot of loose ends. And it was satisfying. It was very sad and it was heartbreaking in a lot of ways, but it was also very touching. And I think that's in my head what I'm envisioning for the overall series finale is going to be something like that.
I could agree. I mean, I could see that for sure. I would agree with that.
Maybe it'll be all of the dead characters having a dance party in heaven.
Maybe it will be Carrie gets a star on the wall. Actually, that's something that like a lot of people have predicted through the years. It's like that's how it's going to conclude, is that like, you know, Saul's reading her name or something like that and she gets a star. Maybe.
Or Saul writes one on the wall, right? Because they won't give her one.
Saul draws a star on the wall for Carrie. I would riot. That would be like absurd to me. I'd hate that. Carrie doesn't get a fucking star on the wall. That's bullshit.
Anyway.
Well, in conclusion, I'm looking forward to season 8. Bring it on.
In conclusion, we're fucked.
Yep. Lippy kids on the corner begin saddling like crows. Though I never perfected the simian stroke, cigarettes and it was everything then. Do they know those days are golden? Build a rocket, boys. Build a rocket, boys. Curbstone cool, you were a freshly painted angel walking on walls, stealing booze and our long hungry kisses. Nobody knew me at home.